Raised Sports is a proud member of the Storyhanger Podcast Network. For more information, go to storyhanger.com.
Hey folks, it's October, and in honor of the Major League Baseball playoffs, we're having a Fall Classic sale. For the entire month, you can receive 40% off a Raised Sports t-shirt. All you have to do is go to raisedsports.com/shop, pick yourself out a shirt, enter the special code CLASSIC at checkout, and get yourself a nice 40% discount. It's a great way to support the podcast and have a high-quality t-shirt designed by our friends at Cool Fire Studios. Remember, enter the special code CLASSIC for 40% off a Raised Sports t-shirt. Thank you so much for your support. Now, on with the show.
For me, as far as pitching goes, the batters are much more disciplined. They have a little bit more of like an approach, you know. There's a lot of free swingers. The younger the guys get, they're a little bit more free swingers. I mean, now I'm facing guys 23, 24, 25 years old with some experience. You know, they hunt pitches.
Every young baseball player dreams of taking the field in the major leagues. But even the best find out quickly that it takes more than dreaming to get there. It takes talent, hard work, and even a little bit of luck.
There's times where I've, you know, kind of had things planned in my head and like expected them to go a certain way, and they normally don't.
Welcome to season 2 of the Raised Sports Podcast, in which we'll go deep into the minor leagues and follow a prospect as he works towards what he hopes will be a shot at the big leagues.
The organization's going to test me, and if I can hold up, then great. Not, then they'll find somebody else, and that's kind of the nature of the business.
He'll endure long bus trips and short paychecks. He'll tinker with his game as the competition gets tougher, and he'll battle through the aches and pains that come with a long season.
It's just part of the game. I mean, playing a little bit banged up, I mean, you're never going to feel 100%, you know, in a 140-game season.
And along the way, he'll constantly look for any edge to improve his game, to impress, to find a way to advance up the minor league ladder.
When I'm my best is when I'm not thinking too much and I'm just out there to embarrass the hitter. For the rest of my career, just out to show the world.
And a swing and a miss, strike three. Pumps the fastball past Benson up in the zone.
Episode 3, They Hunt Pitches. About the only problem with success is that it does not teach you how to deal with failure. That's a quote from Tommy Lasorda, the Hall of Fame manager, known for his skills as a leader, as a motivator, and for his ability to turn a phrase. He led the Los Angeles Dodgers to 2 World Series championships in the 1980s. Think about that line for a moment and let the truth of it sink in. Nobody wants to fail, but everybody does at some point. Nowhere is this more true than in baseball, a game that is as unforgiving and humbling as it is fascinating and complex. The question in baseball is not whether you will fail, because you most certainly will at some point, but how you react when you do. Cole Uvula had not experienced much failure as a professional pitcher, and the Texas Rangers were going to push him until he did. As a 40th round draft pick in the 2018 draft, Cole navigated his initial stint as a pro in the Northwest League with relative ease. Then he started the 2019 season with Hickory in the South Atlantic and dominated there too, earning a quick promotion after just 10 days to Advanced A and the Down East Wood Ducks of the Carolina League. His start at Down East was good too, and he went his first 5 outings without allowing a run. Things were going great, but this success was having another effect as well. It was boosting his confidence to the point where he was starting to think ahead, perhaps a bit too much.
It's just that I'm, you know, an older guy that's behind as far as older guys go. I mean, 25-year-olds, I'm still, even though I've moved up a few levels, I'm still one of the older guys on the team. And, you know, I just know that certain guys are going to get a little bit more of a window just strictly on age and ability, and you know, I'm okay with that. And but like, because of that, easy to try to like get ahead, and like map out everything and try to like think, okay, I can get to Frisco by this time next year and then the big leagues by whatever, whatever.
Frisco is the Rangers affiliate in the Texas League, which is Class AA. That's a step above Down East and just two levels below the majors. AA isn't the big leagues, but if you squint, you can kind of start to see it from there. Sometimes you'll even see players skip AAA and go straight to the big leagues from AA. So Cole was feeling his success, and that, combined with his sort of nagging pressure, this feeling that the clock was ticking due to his age and that he needed to keep moving, keep climbing up the minor league ladder, it all led him to kind of allow himself to focus on the future and forget that he had yet to truly realize the challenges of the Carolina League. At the same time, the differences between Advanced A and his previous stop in Hickory were beginning to be noticeable, and it wasn't all good for Cole. There were some positive differences, to be sure. The defense behind him was cleaner, for instance, which was nice. But there was another thing that proved to be a bit of a mixed bag, the umpires. The umps were better. They had more consistent strike zones, which of course is good. But better strike zones are also less forgiving strike zones, which was not always to Cole's advantage. Those pitches off the plate he would sometimes get guys out on before, those weren't being called strikes as often anymore. The fast start at Down East was to some extent, maybe not so much a mirage, but a bit misleading. Derek Tucker, the Ranger scout who signed Cole, explained that this is the way it works. Each step of the way, the competition gets better and everything gets tougher, which presents a whole new set of challenges.
Every level definitely gets harder, that goes without saying. Every level poses new challenges and better players, and you can get away with a lot less than what you got away with at the level before. So we talk like the command needs to keep getting sharper. Obviously, like right-handed pitching is one of the harder things to make it. There are thousands of guys out there, and he's not going to be granted with a lot of opportunities for failure along the way. He's going to have to keep getting out. He's going to have to keep doing what he's supposed to do off the field. He's going to have to, you know, and hopefully get some breaks along the way.
The more he pitched at Down East, the more Cole began to feel the differences from the lower levels.
The umpires have tighter zones, more like closer to, you know, just, I wouldn't even say like there's better zones, like as far as consistency, like they're smaller, but they're, you know, if it's on the white, it's going to be a strike. If it's off the white, it's going to be a ball. And so that's been, you know, some adjusting there.
Another thing, the batters were more seasoned. They knew that the umpires had tighter zones, and they knew to take advantage of that fact. They weren't tempted to swing at those bad pitches nearly as often as hitters at the lower levels would.
The batters are much more disciplined. They have a little bit more of like an approach, you know. There's a lot of free swingers. The younger the guys get, they're a little bit more free swingers. I mean, now I'm facing guys 23, 24, 25 years old with some experience. You know, they hunt pitches.
All of these differences kind of came to a head for Cole in early May. It started on May 5th. The Wood Ducks were at Fayetteville, an affiliate of the Houston Astros. Cole came into the game in the ninth inning to protect a three-run lead and looking for his first save for Down East. Things started well enough, and he got the first two outs quickly. Then he walked a batter. And then up came outfielder Jake Myers, a 13th-round pick in 2017 out of the University of Nebraska. And Myers hits it out of the park. Cole gets pulled from the game, leaving teammate DeMarcus Evans to get the final out and earn the save. It was the first home run Cole had allowed in 2019, and only the second of his pro career, but it was just one moment. What was more concerning, perhaps, was that it led to more moments and kind of propelled him into a rough stretch. In Cole's next outing, May 8th, against Myrtle Beach, he allowed two runs. On May 15th, at Potomac, he allowed two more. He took the loss in both games, and eventually, he'd surrender runs in five consecutive appearances. They were hunting his pitches.
the big thing is, like, I used to be able to, like, get behind hitters, and my fastball was good enough to, like, still bail me out and still get weak contact, you know, if I was 2-0 or 3-1 or 1-0 even, you know. But these hitters, you know, if you don't get ahead and, you know, really take the at-bat to them and, you know, kind of an aggressive, you know, approach to getting them out, and they just get comfortable, and then they can hunt pitches and drive balls in the gaps and just put together much better at-bats.
Cole's command issues were kind of starting to bite him, and it was having a bit of a snowball effect. It was hurting his confidence, making him more tentative, and because of this, he began to pitch differently. He tried to be more fine, to be more perfect with his location, and it was actually having the opposite effect. The harder he tried to be exact with his pitches, the less exact he was. As a consequence, he was either putting the ball too far outside the strike zone, allowing hitters to lay off and get a favorable count, or he was catching too much of the strike zone and he was getting hit hard.
It's a fine line. So, like, you know, you want to get ahead and throw strikes, but if you're just throwing fastballs right down the middle, I mean, that's not going to work either. So it's like, there's a fine line between being too cute and too fine and trying to, like, just miss here and just miss there, and then that's a way to get behind. And then another way to get behind is to try and, you know, just get me over pitches that just get crushed.
Kolb was getting his first taste of struggle as a professional, and he was beginning to understand that he had to make some changes. He needed to refine his game. He could no longer rely on just throwing the ball past people. So as the month of May started to wind down, Cole started to tinker with some things. One thing, he started to rethink how he looked at his whole issue of commanding his pitches, and to take some pressure off himself, to relax a little bit. He had been focusing too much on trying to hit his spots exactly. What he really had to do instead is to take a more general approach.
For me, it's been more like just trying to execute good pitches rather than great pitches. Because when you try to make it too perfect, and, you know, you get these tighter zones and more disciplined hitters, you fall behind, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-1, and then run into the problems I was talking about. So for me, it's more like pitching on the thirds of the plate. So, like, outer third, inner third versus outer corner, inner corner. And specifically focusing on throwing pitches up in the zone for my fastball.
So Cole decided he needed to not think too much and to try to not be too fine, to try to hit areas of the strike zone and not worry too much about hitting the exact spots. But I want to focus on the second part of what he said regarding fastball location and keeping it up in the zone, because it's crucial and it leads to another important change he decided to make. Around this time, Cole received a report that said his fastball was much more effective when thrown high within the strike zone rather than low. This goes a little bit against conventional wisdom. I mean, how many times have you heard an announcer proclaim that a pitcher has to keep the ball down? But because of Cole's mechanics, the way his arm moved, the way the ball came off his hand, and the movement of his fastball, batters were finding it harder to track the ball when it was thrown higher, and the organization showed Cole the data to back it up.
My fastball plays. We actually just got a report back from one of our pitching coordinators, and hitters are hitting 061 off my fastball up in the zone, and then on fastballs middle and down in the zone, they're hitting like over 300. So it's like kind of like a no-brainer that I just need to, like, live above the belt with the way my fastball plays in the zone, and that's been a big focus too.
This information had a two-pronged effect. Not only did it cause Cole to change where he wanted to place his fastball, it also prompted him to change what he used as his main secondary pitch. You want your off-speed pitches to, as best as they can, complement your fastball, and his slider just didn't match up well with a high fastball. So he opted to set that pitch aside in favor of a curveball. The reason for that is simple. If batters are struggling to hit his fastball when it's high, why not counter that with a curveball, which, when it's thrown correctly, has a strong downward break, as opposed to a slider, which generally tends to break horizontally. Get the batter used to looking up in the zone for the fastball, then all of a sudden throw a pitch where the bottom drops out of it. forcing the hitter to change eye level, forcing him to cover more of the strike zone. Cole, always looking for any way he can improve, decided to make this change.
I kind of bounce back and forth, but a curveball just kind of matches my arm slot a little bit better, and it'll play, you know, I throw a four-seam fastball that's straight, and a curveball, in theory, should go down, almost straight down, like a 12 to 6 on a clock, and that'll just, like, pair better. And it's just going to take some time to develop, but I think in the long run, it'll be, a more successful pitch. And then the slider isn't something I'm just going to completely get rid of, but maybe use it less and just focus on the curveball for now.
So we're talking about this change as if it's easy. Just go ahead and change what pitches you throw and where you throw them. But it's not. Cole knew how to throw a curve, but it's not like he had put a ton of focus on it during the season. Now he had decided to go back to it. And the only real way to make a transition like this is to do it live, in games. At the same time, you're trying to impress your coaches, while trying to help your team win games, while feeling this pressure to succeed and advance. Add it all up, and that's really hard. But when you think about it, what other choice did he have? Doing what he had been doing, while effective at first, was turning out to not be enough against Carolina League hitters. What chance was there then that it would ever work against AA hitters or AAA hitters, let alone big leaguers? About the only problem with success is that it does not teach you how to deal with failure. There's another way to put that quote from Tommy Lasorda. The good thing about failure is that you can learn from it. Failure can teach you to adjust, and it can make you better. At least it can if you're willing to seek out the reasons behind the struggles. Cole did so. He knew he had to add some polish to his game, and so he went to work.
I try to throw off the mound like pretty much every day that I'm not. I throw off the mound like 5 days a week, regardless of the games. And it'll just be like 8 to 10 throws, but just to feel the slope and, you know, being a 25-year-old guy that's been, you know, taking pitching serious for like only about 5 years, it does seem like a long time, but I still feel like I have some stuff to work, make up for, and I need to work more than most on like refining my craft. I'm still kind of like a raw pitcher, I would say, not really like a very, like some of my game has polish, but definitely not all of it. And I think the command and control part is what needs the most work.
That ability to analyze a situation and to identify necessary adjustments and then to execute them, that's a strength of Cole's, and it's something his father Steve says could make a big difference.
He's a smart kid. He's very much a thinker. He'll fix whatever's broken, meaning if he's not placing his curveball right, he will work until it is. If his fastball needs to be high in the zone rather than low in the zone, he will throw enough until it's high in the zone. He will maximize whatever opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Raised Sports Podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Bob Harkins. Music credits go to Jazar, Kai Engel, and Kevin McLeod. And the theme song comes from DL Sounds. Special thanks once again to Cole Uvula for letting me follow his journey through the 2019 season, and to Derek Tucker and Steve Uvula for their comments in this episode. Stay tuned for episode 4, in which Cole heads into June with not only some adjustments to his game, but a whole new mental attitude. Will it prove effective?
All in all, if you'd have told me a year after I got drafted, I'd be in high A, you know, with and done what I've done, you know, I kind of was like, this isn't as bad as it feels. This month, which had felt, you know, like it was the worst I'd pitched ever, has resulted in this, then, you know, like I said, it's not that bad. It's not like career ending.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.